Okay, so I've put a picture of our family farm, or part of our family farm, up on there. And as I mentioned right at the beginning, I was going to give an overview of one aspect of the parts of the plan that I submitted on individually. But with my connection to Federated Farmers and the information that I've taken out of it, I felt I would like just really to talk to you once on the area of the objectives. And so this is the part that I want to talk about now.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go through the my piece here. And so I'm a fourth generation Baird who was farmed at that property at Benmore, and our family came to Southland in 1862. And so I've been at Lincoln University, and I'm a qualified accountant, and I'm also a member of the Institute of Directors. And I've been involved in the Federated Farmers Executives since 1980, for 7 years, let's say, and I'm the third year as president. Success in farming can be measured in many ways. A viable business and an industry to pass on to its next generation is large in my mind. Federated Farmers is a membership-based organisation representing all farmers. We need to be mindful of rules that help one sector, yet could be very detrimental to another. We owe it to those who will follow us to ensure that the planning, regional planning documents are fit for purpose. So there's an opening statement. So farming is more than producing a saleable product. There is heritage, conservation, aesthetics, recreation, and community. And so I'll try to give you a bit of a picture of how I see Southland when I look around. We've got recreation, we've got Winton, we've got farming. I think we're very privileged to live down here. So I then wanted to talk about the objectives of the Southland Water and Land Plan. There are planning documents which the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan must give effect to, and this has resulted in some new objectives that were not in the Regional Water Plan. So I've read through the Section 32 and the 42A reports. Prepared by staff to gain an understanding of the new objectives, and it's my assessment that it's objectives 1 to 5, 7, 15 and 18 are new to the proposed plan. Due to the limited time that I have, I will only cover those new objectives. So objective 1, I'm not going to read it out because I think you all know that one.
Yep.
All I'm just going to be looking there is, obviously we've added the word sustainability. This objective was not that well understood by submitters, with only 14 responses. 13 submissions were in support of it, with Fish and Game seeking some amendments. After consideration of Fish and Game submission, staff have added the word sustainability, so I'm going to get that in bold, to provide clarity for plans. To provide clarity for plan users, as was the case with the objectives in the regional water plan, Federated Farmers would ask that a plain English explanation of what this objective and other new objectives means could please be completed. Now, objective 2, now this is the one that I want to focus on. Water and land is recognised as an enabler of the economic, social, cultural well-being of the region. This is a very, very significant objective in the plan. There were 46 submissions received on it, with 28 in support. As the regional GDP chart below shows, Southland's economy is strongly underpinned by agriculture. This is not necessarily a bad thing, but it means there needs to be flexibility in the planning framework to allow land use change to follow market signals. This has been understood in the past and is illustrated in figure 3 below. From the mid-1980s, total stock units have not changed significantly. The intensification story has been overemphasised in my view. There has, however, been a large fall in sheep, a fall in beef and deer numbers, and a significant rise in dairy-related animals. Without these changes occurring, Southland's GDP per capita would have dropped and other demographic factors would have played out. Rural schools would have closed and rural servicing towns would have reduced in size. Southland's population would have contracted by many thousands and other social problems could have developed. House prices in urban areas would have fallen as people left Southland in search of employment in other regions. I hope the commissioners have had the opportunity to visit some of Southland's rural towns. The fall in income from sheep affected many. The revival of Gore, Edendale, Winton, Tautau, Riverton, Mossburn and others can be thanked on the land use shift to dairy and dairy support. The coal towns of Ohi and Nightcaps illustrate clearly how the cold winds of change can batter the heart out of the community. And here are the graphs and so forth that I referred to. So Southland, I know you've seen these reports that are in the large document that was produced recently.
Yep.
So amendment sought. So I believe staff who analysed the submissions received on Objective 2 have not fully considered the importance of this objective. 150 years of effort by our farming forebears developed this region into a productive landscape that can feed its people and millions of others around the world. They have established roading infrastructure for the mobility of the province and those who visit. They have developed the landscape using a mixture of natural and exotic flora to enhance Southland's natural beauty. And some accepted the ultimate cost of thousands of young men leaving this province during two great wars to ensure the tenets of democracy were upheld. Many never to return. Farming counts in this province, and it needs greater recognition. Recognition that will provide more certainty to current farmers and those who will be farming in the future. This certainty is undermined by the use of the physiographic zones in the plan. This is new science. It explains how water chemistry changes as it passes through the landscape. This science has been corrupted, in my view, by trying to condense it into nine zones, which are then used in this planning, in this plan, ultimately creating winners and losers. The full value of the physiographic science will be best achieved outside of the planning framework, and Graham will talk more on that shortly. Farmers would support the ongoing development of the science, as it would enhance their understanding of their land and how their practices can impact on water quality. The fear that the science incorporated into the planning space could tear value and opportunity from their businesses would be allayed. So I'm suggesting that it be rewritten, as Federated Farmers suggested, with the addition that people have flexibility and choice to modify, change and develop land for farming purposes within a framework of long-term sustainable use. Objectives 3 to 5 and 15. Now these objectives, again, I know you know what they are, and they have cultural sensitivity and an understanding that many have of what they do mean, but there's probably many who don't understand what they mean. There were 11, 13, 10 and 9 submitters respectively on these objectives. I believe this reflects the lower level of understanding of what these objectives mean. The regional water plan had limited content with regard to Ngāi Tahu cultural values. Objective 3 made reference to Ngāi Tahu cultural values, including Mahinga Kai. With the inclusion of 4 objectives into the proposed Southern Water and Land Plan, this should rebalance iwi's need for an understanding of matters which are important to them. I reiterate the need for a broader explanation of what these objectives intend for the plan. I believe there is growing understanding of cultural values in Southland with a desire for this knowledge to be built further. Iwi came to these shores over 800 years ago. However, migration to New Zealand has occurred over a longer period of time and is still occurring. Other cultures and heritage are important to this province and should not go unrecognised. I re-emphasise why the extension of Objective 2 should be made. Objective 7. I'm really only bringing this one forward because it's a new objective, I believe. However, the staff have recognised the suggestions that Federated Farmers made and have redrafted it really to what we suggested, so I can't say any more than we accept how that has been transformed. And finally, Objective 18. And all activities operate a good environmental management practice or better to optimise efficient resource use and protect the region's land, soils, and water from quality and quantity degradation. This objective received 53 submissions, with 14 in support of it. The Federation supports in principle the intention of this objective, however felt that it read like a policy. On reading the 42A report analysis of this objective, there is greater clarity on what is intended. I therefore reiterate my comments at the beginning on the need for plain English explanations to accompany these objectives. So I conclude there.
Thank you very much for that. Let's see if we have questions. Lawrence, so Green. Just wondered about your objective. Number was it?
Two.
Yes, number two. Now, the original one seemed to be related to any kind of economic, social or cultural well-being, where yours is focused on farming. Is that have you a comment on that?
I certainly mentioned farming because we mentioned farming in the amendment that we suggested. Certainly the first sentence reflects wide use and it's not specific to any one industry or engagement. Where I have put what does contain farming purposes within the framework of long-term sustainable use. And I felt I wanted to include that because of how I really believe the significance that farming has to this province. Okay. I mean, we are the biggest industry that this province has. We are 20% of GDP. So I felt that at this stage it was relevant to emphasise farming and farming's significance to this province.
I can't remember, but there may be other objectives that that enable economic and social cultural well-being for other sectors of the community as well. So if that's covered elsewhere, then that's probably right, but possibly think that it could be expanded to include. I mean, the wording, you know, I'm not arguing about the wording, just saying, is it solely for farming, or should we think about other groups? Could it be modified to include everybody rather than just the farming community?
I mean, again, there's either the addition or removal of one or two words and it changes. I was certainly bringing forward and putting forward the issue that I was looking to recognise how farming has that impact and was looking to ensure that farming was recognised specifically in this plan.
Okay. All right, thanks. That was all.
Hi, good afternoon. Just wondering if you're familiar with the recent changes to the National Policy Statement on Freshwater Management, 2017.
I try and read many things, and I have read some of that material, but whether I can recount it enough to answer your question, I'll try.
I think it takes effect on the 8th of October, next month anyway, but it's given more status to Te Marae o Te Wai, which is about giving more emphasis, I think, to tangata whenua values. And I think that's a general trend to get better explanation, perhaps, and some position within that policy statement to tangata whenua values. But it also refers to those three elements, hauora o te tangata, hauora o te taiao, and hauora o te wai, which I take in reading the National Policy Statement, refers to the whole community. It's not just, I don't think, related to tangata whenua. So it might be interesting to just see how that, if that assists in terms of understanding some of these values that I think you're referring to here need further explanation.
That's right. I believe that now we are broadening our horizons all the time, and a wider understanding of iwi values is important, and hence why I was asking for more explanation as to the intention or the understanding of what those objectives mean, because to a large number of people, I think there would just be uncertainty or ambiguity as to what they're saying, because there isn't a depth behind them.
Yes, that's right. I understand that. Thanks, Mr.
Wood. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to go back to Objective 2, Alan. I'm just, even today we've heard that views that the plan was actually too strong on farming and needed to have a broader, wider range. So following on from Morris, I thought that the amendment here might have been wanting more flexibility and choice, but being open to every land user or water user in Southland. So I'm surprised in some respects that you've actually narrowed it down to farming.
I mean, I did think of that before I attended today, and but it wasn't my role to edit the Federation's submission, and hence why I'm bring it forward as to how we submitted on it.
Okay. So bearing that in mind, if we accept the statement as you've made, is there anything else in the plan that would need to be looked at to actually take that objective through to some of the policies and rules?
I think it would have quite a bearing on a number of policies and rules, because I'm really asking for that flexibility and choice to modify, change and develop land. And so some of the restrictions that are in the plan, and the plan is quite prescriptive in a number of areas, particularly on physiographics, that do constrain the ability for farmers to have that flexibility. And so that's what I'm sort of positioning to say that why, as Federated Farmers, is suggesting that the physiographic science has a place, but not in the plan document. And that's what we want to expand further on. We believe that science needs to be taken further, but by having it in the plan, it does constrain it, it makes it rigid, requires plan changes to make any changes to it, and therefore the value that can come from it is hindered. And particularly as Graham will explain shortly, there is new information as to where that science is going.
Understanding that, if we jump forward to limit setting, I know we're not going to deal with it, but I would have thought that would have been a strong argument for limit setting to actually have the ability to have choices under a limit setting framework. And flexible. I know we're not dealing with it today, but I think it's a very strong argument going forward. So to set that, to have that discussion and let people have choices, the platform that's in this plan is actually quite important.
Again, it is quite a technical area as to how the objectives flow through the plan and how the perceived changes might need to be made. And certainly we'd have to, am I suggesting that even industry do get involved with helping through that process, because it is interpreting some of the critical points where we see the current plan is out of sync and too constraining on what farmers need to be able to do to meet the market signals. And that was the point I was looking to raise, that we know at the moment that the dairy has shown quite a degree of interest, and so farmers have moved to dairy. But in 10, 15, 20 years' time, we don't know what's around the corner. We know all about technology, and it's always changing. We know about impossible burgers, and we know about artificial milk and so forth. So who knows what's around the corner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, just two matters. Firstly, in terms of us visiting Southland's rural towns, we did a four-day site visit around the region. I think we visited just about every town in Southland as part of that. So yeah, we've had a pretty good look around.
Good.
In terms of your request for us to include explanations of the objectives, I'll ask the officers to respond to this in their reply report, but my initial reaction, and it is only an initial reaction, is that I don't think we've got scope to do that for a number of reasons. One, I don't think neither your own personal submission nor the Federated Farmers submission actually asked for that. Secondly, there's no actual wording being provided by either yourself as a submitter or Federated Farmers, and just listen, in terms of what those explanations might say. And if we were now of our own volition to dream up explanations, I think there's a matter of procedural unfairness there, because I think there would be a whole lot of parties out there who would have wanted to have submitted on what those explanations may or may not have said. So just letting you know, I think it's pretty doubtful if we're going to be able to do that. But if the officers could address that in reply, that would be appreciated, both from a legal and planning perspective. Thanks.
Just the existing water plan does contain a lot more narrative.
It doesn't matter what the existing water plan says, this is a new plan. We have to consider this plan on its merits based on the submissions lodged. That's the short answer to that. I mean, I haven't even read the existing plan, and I don't intend to, because it's simply not relevant to us in terms of what our job is to do. All right, next witness.